The following service was recorded live on Sunday, March 5th, 2017, at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan.
Church. Greetings, grace, and peace on this first Sunday of Lent. Lent actually started, of course, with Ash Wednesday, but this first Sunday in Lent, it's good to see you. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious and loving God, for truly today is the day that you have made. May we rejoice. May we be glad. But Father, may we also see the blessings in our lives that you have shared with us. Time with friends and family, times to share, ministry to be a part of. Father, you go with us in so many different ways. But we come now to worship you in spirit and in truth. May we truly do that as we come this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
My inspiration, Lord, unto you will I cry. chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against the stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "If these, all of these, I will give you, if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The temptation of Jesus. 40 days, and we get to the end of that 40 days of temptations, and Jesus had fasted and prayed, and we find these three last temptations written for us and recorded, so they must be significant, right? But notice that it's right after Jesus is baptized by John. The Holy Spirit says, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." Boom, he's taken away into the wilderness, led away by the Spirit, and there he is tempted by Satan for 40 days. Now, don't take that literally, just 40 days, you know, like count. That's a significant amount of time, longer than a month. So he was there and he was tempted by Satan. So how many of you have ever been tempted? Really? You know, we went to this thing in Lander, Wyoming yesterday, the Lander Methodist Church, and I'm trying to watch my figure shrink, not grow. And on the table, in the middle of the table, not only did they have this table full of all kinds of goodies, they put this large, I'm not talking about little, it was a large plate, wasn't it? Full of candy. Twix, Kit Kats, Trinity, Hershey's, Milky Ways. Oh, the almond Hershey's, dark chocolate, the little guys. Oh, temptation in a plate. Just one, you know? Just one. I had been real good. I had eaten a tangerine. So that should offset it. The acid should eat away the sugar, right? It's not the way that works, right? So, but nuts are healthy, right? Even if they're wrapped in chocolate. So the almond-covered chocolate, that's the good. So, you know, they were there, so I took one, you know? And I may have taken another one. You know, I took my plate to throw it away, and I had to put the peelings on top of the papers because I'd had a few. I didn't do well with that temptation on the table. That's a little temptation, isn't it? Temptation. How do we as Christians overcome temptation? It's a big problem for us, isn't it? Well, number one, what is temptation? If I asked that question, I asked it to the kids in the truck this morning. I know that they sometimes think, I'm riding with him to church. So what will the questions be today? Or it's Friday night or it's Saturday night and we're eating dinner and he says, I have a question. Oh, no, he's working on the sermon. Yeah, so you just don't know what a joy it is to be an experiment and a sounding board sometimes. So what is a temptation? I want to add a little word to it for us as Christians. You might want to write some of this down. It might be handy later. Temptation, you could add a word to it called trap. When we are tempted, it can become a trap. What is a trap? It's that which entangles you, takes away your freedom, and comes to a bad end most of the time, right? Once you're in the trap, most of the time you can't get out without somebody letting you out. So for us as Christians, how do we overcome them? Number one, maybe how should we stay out of them? I borrow a quote from The Godfather. How many of you saw that movie? I loved it. I can't do the quote and do the cheat too, but how to avoid a trap, he would say, is to know a trap exists. You need to understand temptation exists around you all the time. And you need to understand, as a Christian, the devil is setting traps for you, temptations, and stumbling blocks at every corner. Many God pushes away you never even know about. Many times, God takes care of them. Sometimes we've gotten smart enough to not fall for the candy in the tray, knowing that that's the obvious temptation. So a temptation is a test, a trial, but you need to understand one thing about a temptation. It never comes from God. James says that God never tests any of us, but we are tempted of our own flesh and desires thereof. So those are the temptations, the traps. Now, as we go into temptations and traps and knowing that they exist, how many of you ever played Army when you were a kid? Cowboys and Indians or anything like that? We used to play it. How many of you know what smut is? Smut, out of the stove. You know, it's what's in the chimney. The black, tarry stuff back east, we called that smut. Soot here? Okay. Soot. We used to set traps for each other in the woods. And you take and bend over a bush and tie it down, run a string over, cover it up, and when they tripped on the spring, it'd throw the bush right up in their face. And what made it really funny was you coated the leaves on that bush with soot so that when it came up, poof, they didn't just get a good bush in the face, they got soot-faced. Then you go, what we did? We laughed at them. We made fun of them. Sometimes we could double whammy them. If the bushes were just right, we could get them this one. And then when they stumbled backwards, you could get them from behind. Well, you know, we're a bunch of kids. We should have noticed that tree, that bush was bent over next to the trail. That should have been an obvious sign that there was a trap. But because we didn't have a lot of experience, we didn't notice it. But there's nothing like getting slapped in the face with a bush covered in soot to remind you that the next time you see a bent over bush by the trail, you'll pay a little more attention. Or maybe you'll go a little slower on the trail. But we all face trials and temptations. We all face those. Jesus gives us, or Matthew gives us, three. What's the first one? Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days and was fasting, and afterwards he was famished. He was starving. Can you imagine? I can't. You know, I have trouble going 4 hours, much less 40 days. Can you imagine how hungry he was? And the devil says, well, Turn that stone into bread, for you may eat. Look at it close to what the devil says. Notice what he says. Command these stones. Command these. Use your divinity. Use your power to change this stone into what you want. Food. Because you're hungry. That justifies it, right? Because you want it or because you need it, that justifies any means to get it. Right? No, it doesn't. He's asking Jesus to use the power God has given him for himself, to fulfill his wants, needs, and desires. You see, God doesn't give us gifts, talents, and abilities just for our own well-benefit. He gives us gifts, talents, and abilities that others may be used, not that we may take care of ourselves. Yeah, it lets us see the traps. Yes, it lets us see the temptations. But God says, what? Turn this, Jesus, or the devil says, turn this rock into bread. Well, guess what? If he made a loaf of bread out of that today, guess what he has to do tomorrow? He has to make another loaf of bread. And what about the day after? But he's questioning not just the bread, not just the flesh, the hungers, the desires. Got that picture yet? He's tempting him in that, but he's tempting him to use what God has given him for himself. Christians, we need to be careful that we don't use the gifts, talents, and abilities God has given us just for ourselves. For we're to be carrying out God's will in our community, in our lives. And the community may start at home. It may start in our church. And it may grow out of that. How many of you God has given special gifts, talents, and abilities? Anybody? You got a special gift or talent? How are you using it? What do you do with it? Are you turning the stone into bread that you may eat and enjoy it? Or are you turning the stone into bread and inviting the neighbors over for a meal? But notice what he says. He quotes the Bible. Did you notice that? Jesus quotes the Bible, says, man shall not live by bread alone. Don't stop. Because there's a little something else you got to get. But by every word of God. Every word of God. Man doesn't live by the needs of the flesh, but by the very relationship and word of God. That is what gives us life. Man doesn't live by bread alone. We're more than what we eat. We live by the word of God right here. This, for us as Christians, believers, this is life. This is nutrition. This is strength. This is resource. This is important. We need to be in it. We need to be using it. But by every word of God. Now notice the next temptation. Notice it's boom, boom, boom with these three. Did you see that? The devil's, if nothing else, he's relentless, isn't he? Have you ever faced a time in your life when you've looked at yourself and how long, oh Lord? You know, how many more times must I go through another trial? I've just finished this battle and I'm in another one. The devil doesn't play fair. He will kick you while you're down. He will show up when you're weakest. He will drag you through the mud right after the torrential rainfall. And the mud's the deepest. Let's look at the next one. I like it too. It's good. And he says, and then the devil took him up on the holy city, the temple of Jerusalem, the seat of Jewish religion, the place where God was for them. And he puts him up, and look what he does. The devil knows the book too. He quotes it to Jesus. And he says, it is written. If you notice, he's questioning Jesus' relationship with God. He'll do the same with you. He'll sometimes use the very word of God to cause you to question your relationship with God. Well, the Bible says, thou shalt not steal, and have you looked in your garage? Have you looked and have you taken something you shouldn't have? Well, the Bible says, and he'll beat you up with it. And he uses it here where Jesus says, well, you know, this is what it says. If you are, you know, let's put a little doubt in there. Doubt, deception. Then throw yourself off and prove to everybody. For it is written, if you do that and you are, he won't let any harm to come to you. He'll lift you up with the angels. And what does Jesus do? When the devil comes at you through the word, guess what you need to do? Come back with it. And Jesus said, what do you think? I know my place. I'm not hiring God. That's what got you in trouble, devil. You thought you were better than God, and you fail, and you want me to do the same. Nope. Thou shalt not test the Lord thy God. He said, I know my place. It's not my place to test him. And then we come to the third one. And he takes Jesus up on a high hill. And he says, have a look around. Look around. Look around at all you see, all of the kingdoms of the world. Look, and now here comes the temptation to the base temptation of all, pride and success and riches and fame and fortune, all of the things the world has to offer. He says, I'm going to give it all to you. You just got to do one thing. Bow down and worship me. Worship the world. Worship the flesh. Worship the kingdoms of this world. Worship the trappings. Worship fame. Worship fortune. Worship success. Worship all of this and forget that it belonged to God. Claim it for your own. And it's interesting when you look at this, the devil didn't get scolded and Jesus didn't say, you can't give that away. He didn't, did he? You see, Satan is the prince and power of the hour. He'll be defeated on Calvary's cross. And what does Jesus do? It's interesting, this one. Once again, for it is written three times, he's beat him down with the word of God, hadn't he? For it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. How do you overcome them? What's the application of this? Number one, you need to know temptation's coming and it's going to be around you. Number two, if you want to avoid a trap, know it's there. Know he's working at you. Know it's coming in the disguise of deception and lies. Every temptation the devil will give you a lie that's a temporary truth. But it's a trap with a long-term consequence. You see, the first one was Jesus could have turned that stone. What harm would it have been? He was hungry. It would have been no harm to have just went ahead and made a little sandwich there. Maybe he could have just used a little rock and just had a little bread to kind of take the edge off. No harm, no foul there, was there? It was just a little bit. And then you know, the next time maybe he was hungry, he could have a chicken sandwich. You know, maybe he could take a farmer's chicken and just say, okay, let it be fried deep in grease and lots of fat and tasty with, oh, I'm sorry, it's getting close to lunchtime. I regret. But you know what I'm saying? You know, there would have been nothing wrong. He was hungry. Do you think God would have thought bad of him to have made him a rock bread sandwich? No, maybe not. But what would that have done? He would have given in to the devil, not to God. He would have compromised in that little thing. And what would that compromise have led to? More compromises. That one little area becomes a place where the devil can go back and say to him, do you remember after you were 40 days and you were hungry, you made a little sandwich. What would be wrong with making another one? You see how the devil can go back and get it? And then the second time he's up on the temple, we'll say that Jesus did do it. And all of the people believed that he was the Son of God. Well, Monday he would have had to jump off of it again. And Tuesday he would have had to jump off of it again. They would have needed another miracle and another miracle. You know what he had to do? Keep going and going and going. So it was stay with the Word of God. Stay secure in that relationship. Don't let the devil get you into gimmicks. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, it's secure. It is there. It is bought and paid for, and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life by the very blood of Jesus, dipped and written in His blood. Nothing can wash it away. Paul says, what shall separate us from the love of God? Nothing. We don't have to prove it. Jesus did it. The third temptation, you need to get this. You need to underline. You need to write this one down. The devil has no power that you don't give him. If you don't give in to this, if you don't give in to his lies and into his deceptions, I like what happens in verse 10. You got to get this one because you need this one. This is how you overcome temptation and avoid the traps. You tell the devil, get away. Did you know that in the name of Jesus Christ, if you tell the devil to leave you, guess what he has to do? He has to hit the road, Jack. Did you see what Jesus said to him? What? Did you not see that? Man, that's the nugget of nuggets. We need that more than anything else, Christians. We need to name it and claim it in the name of Jesus. Jesus said, away with you. When the devil is after you, when you see the trap, tell him, I'm not going there. You're out of here. Because he's defeated. The cross defeated him. The love of Jesus, the love of God defeated him. A grave couldn't hold our Savior. Our Redeemer lives. And he is with us and in us. You know, it's wintertime in Wyoming. And a four-wheel drive vehicle is nice, isn't it? I mean, it's really nice. God gives us tools to fight the devil with. Number one is the Word of God. Number two, the Holy Spirit. Number three, His presence. Number four, a Christian community. People around us. People that we could trust and share. And you know, sounding boards and people we could struggle on. He gives us all of those things. And it's kind of like getting in the middle of a blizzard in Wyoming with a four-wheel drive truck and never putting it in four-wheel drive to not use it. And what's even worse is to be in a four-wheel drive truck, not use the four-wheel drive, and not know how to drive the truck. You know, sometimes you know you put in four-wheel drive and think that's the miracle here, don't you? Well, you better know what you're doing when you do that because you can really get stuck in a four-wheel drive. He gives us the tools that we need. We are not defenseless against trials and temptations. He gives us all the tools, but we need to know how to use them. Here it is. Here it is. It's church. It's Bible studies. It's Sunday school classes. It's worship. It's sharing in groups. It's sharing in small. It's learning to use the tools. Sticking with those people who have drove in a Wyoming winter in a four-wheel drive for 20 years. If I would suggest every one of you, if you ever have somebody move here and they're used to driving somewhere else, teach them. You know, too slow's bad, too fast is a hazard. You know, show them. And then after they get past the first snowfall, we're okay anyway. I try to stay home that first one. You know, people got to get it out of their blood. They're doing that crazy stuff. But folks, Jesus died for us. We have every tool we need to defeat. No, we don't have to defeat him. You need to hear me this morning. He is defeated. We have to claim it, the victory in Jesus' name. And we have to tell the devil to get off our back. We can't give him a place to stay. We have to pray, stay in the very Word of God. And verse 11, here's what happens. When you don't give in to the flesh, when you don't give in to that temptation of that separation of your relationship with God, when you don't give in to the powers and the things of the world as your answer, that's the three temptations here. And you tell the devil to flee, you need to look at verse 11. I like it. How many of you believe in angels? Sometimes they're rough and gruff. Sometimes they don't float in on little white fluffy wings. Sometimes they got calloused hands. Sometimes a few wrinkles. But there's angels around us. And the angels ministered to him. When we have stood against the devil, God will offer ministry to us in the form of angels or fellowship, friendships. Overcoming temptation, Jesus did it. Let's claim it. Let's don't fall for it. Let's don't get smut-faced because we didn't notice the tree bent over. Let us know the temptations exist. When you go out of here this morning, you're going to face them. Let Christ go with you. Let Christ go before you and follow him. Don't get smut-faced. Trust in him, and the devil has to flee. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. We'll prepare our hearts to come to the table this morning. Pastor, what do you mean, prepare our hearts? Yeah, just that. It isn't about getting, it's about receiving. There's a difference between getting something. That means we kind of take it. But Jesus has already given it. Let us receive it. A gift of love and grace, and remember the sacrifice of Christ, the bread and the body, the blood and the sacrifice, the covenant, the redemption of sins. Let us remember that in our receiving of communion today, that it is also the power to stand against the enemy, to withstand the temptations, to see them before they come. So, Father, we prepare our hearts this morning to come and to receive at your table. And may these gifts of bread and wine be for us strength. Let them be for us tools that inspire us to dig deeper into your word, to trust in it, to be able to quote it back at the enemy when he uses it against us, and to let it affirm our relationship in you that is through Jesus Christ, not by what we do, but what he has done. To accept that and to live into that and to trust in that. And that in the name of Jesus, Satan has to flee from us. Father, when we're tempted and tried, let us not forget that, humbling ourselves before you and in the name of Jesus, putting him to flight. So may our hearts be prepared to come and to receive. And let us join in Wesley's thought of a holy mystery. Letting this become for us the body and the blood, but letting it in that holy mystery fill us with strength and grace in his presence this morning. Hear our hearts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Oh, As a faith community, we're called to pray for one another without ceasing, to share in that time and to share that journey. So now you have someone to pray for and a concern to lift up that's personal that you've shared with one another. May you go now to share that love and grace that is Christ in the world around us. And may truly the love and grace and peace of Christ go with you and bless you. In the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. If you would like more information about our church, please email us at rsfumc@hotmail.com. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 82901. Our phone number is 307-362-5334. Audio copies of this message are also available online at www.rockspringsumc.org. Times for worship and other activities are also available on our website. Please feel free to share this CD with others, or if you need additional copies, contact us by phone or email.